All right. Good morning. Wow, that was really actually amazing. Worship this morning. So good. I don't think all of us really realize how blessed we are to have the musicians that we have. I mean, honestly, these guys could play in a bar on Friday night and make some good money. I'm not kidding. They could. But they come here for free to give us something that is a gift. I mean, it is truly a gift every week. And I come in here when they show up here at 8 o'clock in the morning and I listen to them practice. And what you don't know is they don't rehearse. They worship. They've been worshiping since 8:30 this morning. I mean, it's 11:25, and I don't have a lot of time because they've been worshiping. They stole all my time. It's not my time, it's his. So I'm just going to take a little bit of a liberty here this morning to just kind of talk to you because I got more prepared than what you could actually handle this morning. So I'll probably get to one verse, and then next week I'm going to like preach what I wanted to preach today. I think God had different ideas. So if you just give me a little bit of freedom to kind of tell you a little story that I have experienced in the last 24 hours. A lot of you know I did a triathlon yesterday, and it's the first triathlon that I've done. And last week I said, whatever you do, when you're done with your triathlon, don't preach about your triathlon. I'm preaching this morning about a triathlon, but I want to give you the parallels and what I saw. So as my wife's wearing a shirt that says fearless, I can tell you on Friday night, I was full of fear. Everything about this triathlon that I had signed up for, everybody said it is the best triathlon you could ever be a part of. They don't just give you medals. They feed you. Like, they feed you good food. My family was there yesterday, and they saw the food and the spread. I mean, it was unbelievable. For $10, you had this table after table of food. And, I mean, there was carnitas. There was eggs. There was, I mean, I can't even go through it all. Everything, all the way to dessert. And, I mean, I did this triathlon, and in my head, I'm done with the triathlon. I thought, I deserve this. Have you ever had that, like, comment in your mind? You're just like, I worked really hard today. Gluttony is all mine. And I piled that plate like you would not believe. I went back and got more cookies, and I saw all these other triathletes doing the same thing. I went to the table once, and I grabbed this brownie, and they didn't cut the brownie small. They were huge. They were, like, this big, and the guy next to me goes, well, that brownie is a little too big. And I said, are you kidding? He goes, yeah, right, it's not too big. Let's just eat it. We both ate the whole thing right in front of each other before I got back to my wife. She did not know that I ate a brownie that big. I did it in about 30 seconds. I, like, inhaled it. But when I signed up for this triathlon, I signed up for it because it was the best one. I signed up for it because it was known as the delicious triathlon. Like, really, I went to a Colorado Multisport, which is a triathlon store in Boulder, Colorado, and when I was in there, I met this associate, and she's like, so, are you signed up for any triathlons? And I said, yeah, I got my first one coming up, I'm really nervous, and she says, which one is it? And I said, oh, it's the Loveland Lake to Lake triathlon. She goes, oh, that's the best triathlon. It's the delicious triathlon. And I hadn't heard that. And I said, okay. And she goes, no, it's delicious. And I said, oh, cool. And she goes, seriously, it's delicious. And I go, okay, it's delicious. I get it. I hear you. And she said, it is delicious in every single way. She goes, when you get there, they, like, roll out the red carpet for you. They treat you like you're a hero before you ever get there. I knew I was going to do this. And you'll get why I'm teary-eyed over it. So I signed up for something that I didn't know that I could achieve. And Friday night, I'm in my hotel room. My wife and I are in there, and I'm sitting on the edge of the bed. and I'm having serious doubts. And here's why I'm having the doubts. Not because I didn't do the training. Because I did all the training. I knew that I could complete it. There was no problem with that. But what I wasn't ready for was the things that I couldn't control. It's called temperatures that were 46 degrees and raining. And I was going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I was going to show up at a lake and put a wetsuit on and get into a lake that was 59 degrees and go for a half mile swim. Anybody with me, like, think that you hear that and you go, that's stupid, right? You know? And they had a little section over to the right called the warm-up section. And I just laughed because I was like, that is not no warm-up section. You don't go in 59-degree water to warm up. You go in 59-degree water to get hypothermia, you know? And I did. I swam for a little bit, and I got out, and I was going like this. And I did what every triathlete's supposed to do in their wetsuit, and you pee in there to warm up, right? And I did. And I peed many times in that wetsuit because I just wanted to warm up. You didn't need to hear that, but that's okay. You're getting off the cuff. I told you I'm just sharing a little bit this morning. But that water was so cold. And I've done these swims. I mean, actually, the swim, I actually really love the swim. I found a sense of peace in the water. I felt this sense of, like, when I'm in the pool and I'm just swimming, like, the water over my head and just, like, rushing over my ears, and I can just, something really crazy about it. So we're singing this song, and it's like, there's another in the waters. It says, holding back the seas, and I didn't sing that. I was singing, there's another one in the water swimming next to me. Because I got in the water, and the first 200 yards, they have all these canoes next to you, and they tell you before you get in, if you get into trouble, you can actually hold on to a canoe. You can raise your hand, they will come get you, right? I'm swimming, I'm 200 yards into this swim, it's a half mile swim, and I'm 200 yards in, and I'm looking at the canoe. Every time I'm breathing, I'm doing this, and I see the canoe. And every time I see the canoe, I'm like, I'm coming after you, and I'm going to steal your canoe, and I'm going home, right? I'm quitting right now. And something in me kept saying this, and you're going to think this is almost stupid, but it was the thing that actually saved me in a moment that my mind said I couldn't finish this thing from the very beginning. And I hear the voice of the Savior saying to me, I suffered for you. You can do this. You can do this. I'm right here. And the more I swam, the more confidence I got, the warmer I got, I actually started to sweat in that suit. And about the halfway mark, I started swimming. And it was so awesome. It was so awesome. I could have swam, I don't know, could have swam for a while. And I got out of that water. And then you peel the wetsuit off, and then you freeze again because it's 47 degrees. And you get on a bike, and I have shorts and a tank top on. And I ride 15 miles on a bike riding 20 miles an hour, wind in your face. I couldn't feel my arms or my legs when I was done. And then you put on shoes, and you get it, and you go run another thing. And I couldn't feel my legs when I was running. They felt like I could feel the impact, but I couldn't feel my legs. Long story short. Night before, I am completely scared to death of what I would face. I get there, everybody's sitting in the parking lot, it's freezing rain, it's pouring down. I got a guy next to me who says, he parked right next to me, he gets out of his car and he goes, I did Boulder Ironman last week and I ain't doing this one, and he got in his car and left. And I'm thinking, this is my first one. He's like, good luck, man, you know? And then the lady next to me on this side, she gets out of her car, and I said, boy, this is going to be crazy. And she goes, yeah, I'm actually a meteorologist, and just so you know, this ain't going to let up till at least 9. Like, you are like it was like Satan surrounded me on both sides and tried to convince me to quit. And we didn't quit because I got in the car, and my wife looked at me. She goes, it's okay for you to quit. I just want you to know it's all right. And when she said that, I said, well, I ain't quitting. I'm going to get in that water. And I set up my stuff, and I go to my transition area to set up my stuff. And as I'm setting up my stuff, I'm just looking at it because I'm not sure what to do. It's pouring down rain, and I have nothing to cover it. I know my stuff's going to be soaked. And I literally am just looking at it, just staring at it. And this lady comes up, And she comes up next to me and she goes, "It's going to be a cold one." And I looked at her and she's at least 15 years older than me. And I said, "It's nice to meet you." And I met her and she said, "Just so you know, you're going to be okay." I said, "Why is that? Why do you even say that?" And she goes, "Today is my 40th triathlon. I'm 72 years old. And I want you to know, like, it's going to be okay." She goes, "How many have you done?" And I said, "Today's my first." And I just looked at her. I was like a little boy looking at her. Today's my first one. And she looks at me and she goes, she put her hand on my shoulder and she goes, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "What do you have?" And I started pulling my stuff out. And she goes, "Okay, I got a tarp. I'll share my tarp with you. I'll cover your stuff. I'll show you how to set it up." She showed me how to set up all my gear. She told me where to put my wetsuit when I was done. And she just said, "You're going to be awesome." She said, "Have you trained?" And I said, "I've trained every day since January, just about." And she goes, "You're overtrained. You'll be fine. You're going to be great." That lady and my wife, two people, changed my fears into triumphs. By their encouragement. And at the end of the day, I looked at my dad and I said, "This is what the church is supposed to be." What if you walked in here for the very first time and you were doubtful about your future, but you wanted to achieve something that you knew you couldn't in your head? Your brain is telling you otherwise, and somebody meets you at the door and says, "I know, but it's going to be okay. I'll walk with you." Somebody had been there for a long time. Somebody who had been in that church for years. They said, "Oh, I've been doing this for 40 years. It's okay. Let me walk with you. Let me teach you. Let me mentor you." Since January, a guy by the name of Bob Cole has been walking with me in this whole thing, and he will send me text messages. "It's going to be all right. Here's what you need to think about. Here's what you need to do." Bob Cole, who has attended here before and didn't like it, so he left. Just kidding. but he has coached me. He's mentored me. He's walked with me. And while I'm out on the bike, like, 12 miles into my bike ride, Bob Coles comes behind me on a bike, and I could hear him. He said, "Donnie, you're doing great," and he passes me like I was standing still. Basically because he has a rocket ship of a bike, and like when he went by me, that bike was like, seriously, it sounded just like that. And he passes me, and I was like, "Oh." And I started pedaling faster, and I started to keep up with him, and I'm right behind him, and all of a sudden his bike starts to weave. And his tires are flat. One tire's flat. And I pull up next to him, and he says, "Go, man. Just go. You're doing it. Go do it." And I said, "Don't you want me to help you?" He says, "No, just go. I'll take care of it." And he comes back at the end of the race, and I said, "Bob, I'm so sorry you got a flat." And he goes, "I didn't get one flat. I got two." Like, that's, you're more apt to get struck by lightning 5 times in Colorado on a July day than you are to get 2 flats in a race. And he got 2 flats. And he celebrated me. He wasn't upset about his flats. He was so excited that I finished and I did well. Now, I want to just tell you this. That is exactly what the church was meant to do. That we were to be a church that when people would walk in here, we would be more encouraged to celebrate people than to think about our own desires. That we were willing to be sacrificial in what we would experience so that somebody else would experience God's presence. That we'd be less concerned about different things within the church and more concerned about how somebody would feel the presence of Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing if that was the church? Wouldn't it be amazing if you walked in and you left and there was a meal and there were people surrounding and we were encouraging people and we were celebrating people who had victories in their life and we're putting them on a podium and we're putting medals around them and we're saying, "You're awesome, you're going to do this." This is what the church was supposed to do. Because this is what Jesus died for was to celebrate you. He died to celebrate you. He died so that you would have victory. He died so that you would have hope. He died so that you would have a future. He didn't die so you would have religion. He could care less about your religion. He cares more about your heart. He cares deeply about your heart. So, as I went through this yesterday, I started this last week, I looked up how this triathlon started. There was a lady by the name of Peggy Shockley who started this 19 years ago. It is the only triathlon in the state of Colorado that is family owned. And it's one of the biggest. There was over 900 athletes at this. 900 plus. Crazy. It was nuts. Ask my wife. She kept looking at me saying, this is intense. This is really intense. And if you saw her Facebook live posts, she was like going play by play. She was like, okay, people, he's out of the water. He's running. He's coming right next to me. Everybody looking at me. She's doing play by play. The whole thing. And she's just totally encouraging me and challenging me. And even when it was over, we're in the car going home. And she goes, I just want you to know you were really slow coming out of that water. And I think you can make up a lot of time by coming out of that water a little faster. And she's like, But I want to say, here's what I want to say. Because Peggy Shockley was actually interviewed. And one of the things she said in the interview, they asked her this. They said, why do you do this marathon? Or why do you do this triathlon? Here was her answer. It's all for the love of Loveland and all for the love of athletes. See, we do it every year because we love our city, our neighborhood, and we love the athletes that come here. All for the love. David, thanks for wearing your All for the Love shirt. This is the series, because this is what we stand for. That everything we do, we don't do for ourselves. This is all for the love of the neighborhood. It's all for the love of Jesus. It's all for the love of the neighborhood. It's all for the love of the Holy Spirit inside of us. It is all for the love of people who are broken. It is all for the love of people who are different than us. It is all for the love of people who are Republican or Democrat. It's all for the love of people, period. People. Now, that's when it hit me yesterday. What was at a race? I started to say to myself, why is this here? It's because love built it. Love built that race. What would it look like if every single person in this place had the same mentality that people at a triathlon had? That volunteers are cheering people on along the race. These people aren't getting paid money. This one guy on a corner was looking at me as I'm running towards him, and he goes, you, man, you are awesome. And I was like, okay, awesome. And I run by him, and then it's an out and back, and I come back, and I see him again. And I'm coming this way, and then all of a sudden he turns around, and he goes, I told you, you, man, are awesome, right? And I'm going, this guy's not paid nothing to encourage me. Can you imagine our first impression team doing that at the front doors? You walking up to there's like there's Olivia Kuzer standing out front going, you are awesome, right? Can you imagine? You would leave. You would walk away. You're like, I'm in the wrong place, right? But here's what I want. I'm going to say a couple things and we're done this morning, okay? Love built this. Not you. Love built this place. You didn't build it by your tithe or your attendance. You didn't build it by your ideas or your talent. This place was built by the love of God and by the love of Jesus. And the more we understand that, the more we actually become the fabric of the character and the nature and the hope of the one who built it. It's not about you, it is about him. And here's the bottom line. I want to give you the goal of the series, because we're coming out of this Holy Spirit series. Here's the goal of the series. To get other people to see, okay? Get other people to actually see what the Holy Spirit has already revealed in us. So for the last few weeks, we've had this powerful series in the Holy Spirit, and God has done some amazing things among us. Last week, we had somebody give their life to Christ for the very first time. We've had people being prayed for, and people have been healed here. People have been vulnerable to the presence of God, and God showed up. That's what's cool about it. But what happens when the Holy Spirit invades his people? The people become the character and the nature of Jesus. We literally start becoming the hands and feet of Christ. So when your attention is drawn to being completely filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and the living God within you, you become the living God to people. And that's not a blasphemous statement, because I know some of you are going, I'm not Jesus. Oh, but you are, if you would believe within you that the Holy Spirit dwells so deeply and so richly in you that your life has been transformed to transform. Goal of the series, to get other people to see what the Holy Spirit has already revealed in you. And you can't force it. You can't convince people. You can't teach it. You can't actually give them some theology about it. You actually have to get them here to get them to believe it and see it and experience it and know it and be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Because love builds. The question is this. If you build what you love, which you will always build what you love, what you love is what you will always build. So at the end of your life, you will be remembered not for what you have built, but what you have loved. Because what you have loved in your lifetime will prove itself by what you have built. So if you want to build success, you can be successful and you will be known for being successful. But it won't be about love. If you build with love, you will be known for being a person who has built love, who has built cultures and families and people with love. So here's a question I asked myself this last week, but I'm going to ask you. Has anyone ever told you they loved you, but they never paid attention to you? Has anybody said to you over and over, I love you, but they didn't give you time? We could be at the church that says that we love our neighborhood, but if we don't give the neighborhood our time, then we don't love our neighborhood. We can just say it. Words are just futile unless you actually do something with your words. Because you know what people do? They build things. Sadly, we build things rather than build people. And Jesus did not build things. He built people. And if you know that, you will know that he can build you. And if he can build you and put his spirit inside of you, you will build people, not things. Matthew 16:18. This is the passage I wanted to get to this morning. We're done. Now I say to you, some of you guys have already heard this passage. You've heard it, you've read it, but I want you to pay attention to it again for this morning. Matthew 16:18. These are Jesus' words. Nope, go back. 16:18. There you go. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, now is he actually talking about a physical rock? Even though they were probably standing by a rock, he's on a rock, but he's saying, this rock, upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. What Jesus is saying is he's saying, I am going to build my kingdom with people. But you know what we do when we think about church is we think less about people and we start thinking about things. And when you think about things, you start building the church with things. And when the things don't work out the way that you hope those things would work out, then suddenly you're frustrated with the thing that you built that you called the church and you call it yours. But when we build the church based on people, we end up building a church that is bound by its people and bound by love. Because it's the only way you can build people is with love. You can't build them with things. Jesus didn't build anything. You know that? We get into Jesus' life and people will look at Jesus' life and they'll say, oh, but I love this artifact about Jesus. The artifact of his shroud, you know, whatever it is. But you know what we don't have is we don't have artifacts that Jesus built with his hands. Because Jesus didn't build a house. He didn't build a house. He was actually homeless, if you didn't know that. He was a carpenter, but there is no table or chair that Jesus built with his bare hands somewhere in the Mediterranean in some museum. And they're like, oh, come see the chair that Jesus built or the table that Jesus built. There are no artifacts that Jesus built with his bare hands. Jesus did not actually, he didn't break world records. He didn't build buildings. He didn't build structures. He didn't build cities. He built people. And he is still in the people building business. So today, right now, whether you like it or not, he is building you as a person. But my guess is you came in here trying to build a life that was not built on Jesus, because that is the tension that we all live with. I do this every day. Every day I have to get up and I have to remind myself not to build my life, but to let Jesus build my life. I have to be reminded that he is the architect of my life. And when Jesus becomes the architect of my life, guess what I become? An architect of life. My soul becomes an architect of somebody else's soul. I get to build somebody. I get to see it happen. I get to watch it happen. This is no more profound than in the bounds of marriage. Because what you saw was a wife yesterday on Facebook, borderline making a fool of herself. Actually, she was making a fool of herself, promoting this husband of hers that was doing something that the night before was sitting on the edge of his bed in tears, saying, I can't do it. And you know what my selfish thought was? I've told everybody I'm doing a triathlon. And if I don't do it, then will I be viewed as a failure to everybody else? And you know what she said? It's in the car. It's okay if you don't want to do this. I'll still love you. It's all right. And that statement freed me to be the person that I needed to be. What if church was that way? What if we were not interested in building buildings, but we are building people? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? Because you are absolutely going to be built by what you love. At the end of your life, there will be evidence of what you built. And that evidence will be what you loved. Today starts a new chapter in our church. Today starts a new season in our church where we are going to focus so heavily on the mission that God put before us, that we would be a community of Christ followers who would live generously inside and out to bring the love of God to the heart of our neighborhood. We would become a people who are sacrificial in how we actually give love to people. That we would say, no, you before me. I'll give you what I have so that you can have more. We become a sacrificial body of people who actually give. And guess what happens? We build a movement based on people. What's interesting about that triathlon I did yesterday was there was no building. We met at a school. There's no structure you can go to today to visit it. It's over. But you know what everybody told me? They said, are you going to go to the one next weekend? How about the one after that? And the one after that? And I said, no, I work on Sunday. And I had my little fast pastor hat on. And they go, you work on Sunday? And I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh, well, nobody does triathlons on Saturdays anymore. They always have them on Sundays. And I said, yeah, I can't do them on Sundays. But I'll take the few that I have. And they said, oh, which one are you going to do? I said, the next one's going to be Littlefoot at Bear Creek in September. And they said, we'll see you there. Because it's a community that's built on love. They encourage one another. They roll out the red carpet. There's somebody next to me who's been doing 40 of these, and she covers my gear. And when it was over, I'm walking out of that building, and she chases me down. Her and her husband. And she said, oh, my goodness. Not only did you finish, but you finished third in your age group. She goes, that is amazing. And I looked at her, and I said, if you did not encourage me, I might have quit. And she said, that's like my own medal. She goes, I'm going to go home with the confidence that I gave somebody the encouragement to do something that they believed they couldn't do. What if we did that? What if the church took the greatest commodity in human history? People. What if the church looked at people and said, you are valuable. I'm going to encourage you to do something you never thought you could do. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't you want to be a part of that? Wouldn't you want to volunteer for that? Wouldn't you want to stand on the corner out here and say, you are awesome? I would. I'll die for it. I'll die for it. So I'm going to invite the worship team back up. We're going to sing one song before we go. This is going to be a series. I can just feel it already. And it's going to end. The last week of this series is going to end, and we're going to shut the doors like we did last year. We're going to lock them up. We're going to put a sign on our building that was built with human hands, and we're going to put on that sign, come worship with us in some place. We don't know where that's at yet. We're praying about it, but we're going to get our hands and feet into the hearts and the neighborhoods of people, and we're going to do something great for a community. We're going to build something, or we're going to clean something up, or we're going to do something that proves to people that there is evidence that we are not about a building, that we are about people. All for the love of the neighborhood. Everybody say it. All for the love of the neighborhood. Hey, do me a favor. There's t-shirts out there. Buy one. Start to wear them throughout the series, and people will ask questions. We had a garage sale last week, and Rhonda and I both were wearing our All for the Love shirts, and people were coming up saying, we don't really like any of your junk, but where'd you get your t-shirts? Like, those are really cool. And so they are conversation pieces. So buy one, start wearing it, and it'll give you an automatic opportunity to be able to say, this is a t-shirt about my church. This is the greatest community that I know. These are the people that walk with me. We build mentoring relationships that actually lead people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. This is the coolest place. And if it's not the coolest place to you, keep coming back until it becomes the coolest place to you, because it is an awesome place to be in community with the Father. Now, you're asking the question over and over, why are we keeping this seating like this? Through this series, we are, and here's why. Because churches shouldn't sit in rows. We should be sitting in circles. We should see each other face to face. We should hear their voices from across the room. We should experience what we see in them, not just what we think of them. Like, think about that. That's a bumper sticker for the series, right? That we are going to love people for what we see in them rather than what we think of them. How's that? Holy Spirit just wrote that one. Somebody write it down and remind me that that's a good point for next week. Okay? I love you guys. Thanks for letting me just be, tell my story for a moment, even though the Lord told me not to tell it. I had to turn it into a story where I knew that the Holy Spirit was with me yesterday, and I knew at home, people were saying stuff on Facebook left and right, we're praying for you, we're praying for you. I had people literally concerned that I was gonna get hypothermia and die. And so I love you for that, but God persevered even in your own fears, okay? Let's worship one last song together, everybody stand. And by the way, offering, we've been doing that differently too. So there's an offering box right back here. Feel free to give there if you need to give. If the Lord prompts you to give, give with a happy heart, with a heart of abundance and a heart of generosity, because this place is awesome. And we need the offering in order to continue to promote the ministry that God is putting on our hearts, okay? So have an awesome day. Let's worship one last song and walk out of here with full hearts.